marks the accomplishment of a lot of firsts for me. My first time being in a relationship, my first time being married, my first time being in love. Well, hopefully.
Experts hit it. Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry. I don't think I can do this. I don't want to marry a stranger.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. It is the Married at First Sight edition. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host. It's the one and only Teresa right there.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? And as we heard in our intro, that one runaway bride was not ready to marry a stranger. None of these morons were.
None of these morons were.
Literally, this... Honestly, I'm tired of everyone lying. I'm here for the drama. Don't get me wrong. Enjoying this. But they're all lying. Some are lying more. Some are lying less. But someone's lying.
Someone's definitely lying. Yes.
I was just going to add.
Yes.
Someone's lying. I think the guys definitely did something fishy. The girls, same thing. But at least the guys are slightly owning up to certain things and making apologies.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't think... And here we go. The phone is off the hook, guys. I haven't put it back on the hook. It's going to remain off the hook. But yeah, you're right. A handful of the men at least apologize to the women, apologize to the experts.
Yes.
No one's apologized to us yet, the viewer.
That's very true.
Pulling the wool over our eyes this season, but at least some apologies are flying from the men's side of the stage.
I think they're definitely lies for sure. I've seen some screenshots on social media, which I don't know if it's real because if they're all real, it means one of the cast members must have released them. And I'm talking about Cameron and Claire. I don't know if it's real.
Well,
I don't
want to fill me in and fill allegedly
there were some screenshots of Cameron and Claire talking about plotting this to make more money, especially Cameron saying, let's stay married so we can get paid. And it's like, is it real? I don't know.
Okay.
It might or may not. I honestly don't know at this point what's real and who is real and who is not real. So.
They danced around that on the reunion. Was that, oh yeah, some people wanted to stay married for the business side of things.
Yes. And I mean, I guess that if you take time off of work, you want to get paid, right? But for example, Cameron has his own business. So I don't think him being on the show or not being on the show, like when he's separated from Claire, he can go back home and do his job. Like, it's not like he's losing a ton of business.
Right. I also don't see the difference in your success whether you stay married or divorce at the end. You've stayed on the entire season, so to scheme and to plot,
that's a good point,
so that your business thrives. It's not like, oh well, we're gonna go to your bike shop because you guys got married. No, it's like you got the exposure and people go to your bike shop, but you just got to get through the process and you get the same amount of viewers and exposure as if you got married or divorced.
Again, I don't know who's lying. The girls are saying Cameron is the one who orchestrated it all and the guys are saying he's not. So it's like either they're like backing each other up, like maybe Cameron is the orchestrator and the guys are just sticking together, or the girls are sticking... I honestly don't know who's lying. I don't know who's lying.
Here's what I do know. Kevin deserves an Emmy for hosting this tell-all.
Yeah, Kevin's sassy. I like it.
Kevin deserves an Emmy for keeping his cool, staying composed. He also deserves hazard pay. Whatever they're paying him to host this reunion, he deserves triple it. Because, a lesser man could not have hosted this shit show.
Yeah, no, Kevin's good. He's staying true to himself and his point of view, not just taking sides of whoever he talks to.
He's not even taking sides. He's just, what journalists should do is ask follow-up questions.
I love that you're calling him a journalist when it comes to this shit show.
I'm not, I don't know if he is a journalist or whatnot, but a reporter, anyone who is...
A host?
He is absolutely a host, but I don't know what his background is.
True.
Anyone reporting on a story, covering a story, needs to ask follow-up questions.
True.
You can't just allow someone to say, hold on, here come my air quotes, say their truth, and then not ask a follow-up question.
Yeah.
Right?
I think, let's say, again, hypothetically, because I am truly not sure who's lying, who's not. Let's say the girls are saying the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Everything they say is the truth. I think the way they act, especially Emily and especially Claire, is taken away from it because I'm questioning it. I don't know if they are right or not. I really don't know who's lying, but the way they approach it with all the eye rolls and yelling and accusing and plotting against, like, the guys are the worst. It's like, I don't know, just dudes and girls, just move on.
I completely agree. I feel like there's going to be a Taylor Swift effect with these ladies. And what I mean by that is...
Thank you. Because I don't really listen to Taylor.
Well, that has nothing to do with... Well, I guess it does have to do with her songs. Guys are going to be scared to date these ladies because they see how they're going to get burnt if things go south. It's like, oh, if I date Emily and things don't work out, she's going to terrorize me for the next 6 months.
Yeah. Emily and Claire definitely kind of approached it in a way that I'm like, girls, I don't think you want to go there. They should have kept it more cool.
Take the high road, be the bigger person.
Yeah. And it's like, it's fine if you feel like the guys lie to you. Talk about it. That's good. Tell us. But keep your cool. And they didn't. And again, I don't know how it feels to be there on that set with all the cameras and all the pressure and all that happened. It definitely can hype you up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really tell them how to act. However, if you look at the guys who went through the same things, they kept it cool. No matter what happened, no matter what accusations were thrown at them or the truth, who the fuck knows? They kept it cool.
Yes. Okay, before we go too deep, real quick, a little business. You guys know? Maybe you don't. Well, here you go. We're on Patreon and Supercast. What are we doing over there? Well, I'll tell you what we're doing over there. We are starting a new season.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
We're starting a new season of 90 Day Love in Paradise. You guys have seen the trailer. Maybe you haven't, but it looks like it's going to be an absolutely bonkers season.
Guys, if you haven't seen the trailer, please watch it. Because from what I saw in the trailer, this is going to be amazing and you need to watch it. And I hope you can come over and listen to what we have to say because I can't wait.
Yes, I'm very excited for this season premiere. It will be covered on the Cousins Club and Family Affair levels of the Patreon and Supercast. Cousins Club is audio only. Family Affair is the audio and the video of the podcast, plus a monthly bonus. So check it out, patreon.com/marriedtoreality, marriedtoreality.supercast.com. Yes, Love in Paradise is returning. Also, we're on Instagram, @marriedtorealitypod. Follow us there. The phones are off the hook this week, but you can call in. We'll get to your messages when we get to them.
Yes.
Be kind.
I will get to them, guys. So, Colin, I would love to hear your take on this because from what we talked a little bit on the Patreon chat and on Instagram, I think you guys are equally as confused as we are on to who's lying, who's not. And as our friend Missy said, as we always say, trust no one.
I barely trust you.
Barely trust you.
Also, make sure you guys are following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hot. Is Kevin's sass. Because that was hot.
Love Kevin. And last but not least, if you haven't left a review, we would love that. You guys know we're suckers for a review. And if you leave a 5-star review, we will read it on the Monday podcast.
Yes.
All right. Let's get into it. We've talked a lot up front. Let's just dive right in. Let's pick back up with rumors, not the Fleetwood Mac album, but rumors that are flying around about Brennan and company.
Yes. So this was interesting because tell me more. But I also felt like Emily was kind of dancing around. It wasn't being very clear. At least I don't know if I picked up on it. So you can correct me if I'm saying something that you did not hear. Okay. So the rumor basically, Brennan says, well, the rumor heard us. And Emily says, rumors. So apparently there is more. There is a rumor that Brennan wanted to have sex with Lily, Emily's ex-best friend.
Emphasis on the ex. Putting the ex in sex.
Which is interesting because, okay, did she act on it? Because let's say it happened, he wanted to bang her. Were they talking? Because she's ex-best friend.
Yeah, because that's Emily. She is so petty that even though nothing happened, and this is just adding another piece of proof to the Emily puzzle, which is like, nothing happened. Clearly nothing happened. Even if Brennan wanted to bang her, he didn't, right? It'd be pretty obvious if he did. But something caught Emily's eye on the iPad or whatnot, and now it's an ex-best friend because she blows everything out of proportion, and now she's an ex-best
friend. Wait, so was Brennan talking to Lily?
Brennan was talking to others about other women. I don't know if it was Lily specifically or if Emily heard other rumors about Lily outside the iPad, but there were a couple different things going on with Brennan being interested in other women.
Okay, yeah. I remember Lily. They did a little flashback. Oh, yeah. I remember her. I mean, having an ex-best friend is kind of a... bringing me back to not even high school, like middle school.
Yeah, you downgrade. You go from an ex-best friend to, or you go from a best friend to like, this is just a friend now because we've moved away or we've moved on or they had kids. But to go from a best friend to an ex-best friend is petty.
It is petty, but that's what happened. So that makes me feel that maybe Brennan was chatting up Lily. Maybe they were just talking. Who knows? Emily got pissed. It's the ex-best friend. And when Brennan brings up the fact that she kissed the Australian guy, he's like, okay, nothing happened. An Australian guy came, kissed me, that was it. It's like, okay, cool. But you did that too. You're accusing him of him wanting to bang Lily, but he didn't bang her.
Right.
You kissed a guy. So right.
One is maybe a feeling, oh, I would like to get intimate with this girl.
Which again, it's wrong. If you're married, you shouldn't be saying you want to bang other women. I'm not saying Brennan is right, but let's say he did say that. He wanted to bang Lily. As far as we know, he didn't bang her. However, Emily did go out and kissed a guy, or he kissed her, as she said.
Right, right. And Emily tries to dismiss it and turn it back to Lily, and both Kevin and Brennan were like, well, why didn't you even bring this up to me? If you were so offended by it, so concerned by it, why wouldn't you ask me about it? Why wouldn't you confront me? And Emily's like, well, I couldn't even imagine it was true. And it's like, there you go. Like, you didn't even really buy it or believe it because that'd be the first person I went to.
She did because now Lily is the ex-best friend.
It could be for other reasons. I'm pretty sure Lily didn't paint Emily in the best light.
Unless... Brennan's new girl is Lily.
No,
although I don't think
out.
It is. I don't think it is because it would come out and Emily would definitely know that.
Yeah. So he reiterated how he wasn't attracted to Emily.
Yeah. And he said something that I can subscribe to. He said, you are an attractive woman, but I am not attracted to you, which is true. There are people that I can say, oh, that's an attractive guy, but if I, let's say, I talk to him, and not that I would because I have you, but you talk to someone, they say something, it's a turn off, you're like, this is not for me. And they can be pretty.
It's not even that. I think every one of these women this season is attractive.
True.
I'm not attracted to them, though. There's two different things. There's being like, oh yeah, I could see how she's attractive. But it doesn't mean you're into them.
Yeah. And right? Brennan said, I told her that. And Emily's like, yeah, but how are you not attracted to me? And I feel like this is where she starts losing me because it's like, just take it and say like, you know what? Like there are plenty of other people who do find me attractive and I will meet, you know, I will find one of them. I will fall in love. Like her kind of turning this into a mean girl saying,
totally.
Yeah, like they're like, people cannot understand why you are not attracted to me.
You're a six. I'm an 8.5. I would never even talk to you at a bar.
She said that?
Something.
What was I doing?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's now she's just getting mean and it's like, it's not helping her. Like she's trying to prove her point and I get it, But her being turning into a mean girl is not helping.
Yeah, I think she's a little bit delusional, which goes on and manifests in ways that make her think Brennan is out to get her and does all these bad things and is cheating on her. Like, no, I think she takes something and she extrapolates and spirals and she says, oh, we were making out every day of the honeymoon.
Yeah.
And Brennan's like, we made out once.
Yeah.
I think there would be footage. I think this would be a beautiful time for Maps to be like, actually, we have you making out a few times.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. And I think this is probably a base. Again, not taking sides, really. But this is probably a base.
Totally taking sides.
No, but this seems like this is the base for all the accusations. Like, part of it did happen, right?
Right.
But how much?
Totally.
Like this thing is like, yes, oh, we made out. Yes, we did make out once.
Totally.
And Emily, I don't know. And that's interesting to me because how did you make up multiple times in your head? Or they did, but then, as you said, why isn't there a footage? Were you making out when you were asleep?
There's cameras all over the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's the time the cameras are most on them without a break is the honeymoon.
Yeah. We didn't see them. Maybe we saw them doing a kiss, but I don't recall making out. So it's like, I can see how this could be one of the things that like, yeah, like we did make out, but we did not keep making out.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I definitely think she hyperbolizes. She takes one little thing and then just blows it out of proportion. And this is one clear example of that.
Yeah. And then they kind of discussed the whole thing when Brennan called her a negative person, which
yeah,
she didn't strike me as negative at all, to be honest. She said, people call me smiley. Sure, I'll take it. But I think her negativity comes from, no, it's not even, I don't think negative is the right word, but it's like this, her not letting go, like her just being mean.
Yeah.
But that's not negative. So I feel like Brennan's comment was kind of like, oh, I don't think that's what you're trying to say, but I can see how he could see her doing something or rolling her eyes, or I just don't think negative was the word.
I think she's shown signs of negativity, but yeah, maybe there's another word for it.
Well, I think she's so hurt by all this that she literally turning into a mean girl. She's on a mission to destroy.
When Brennan says he's in a very happy relationship,
she's
like, well, I hope I can find her because I want to warn her and tell her to run. It's like, how childish are you?
Yeah.
Plus, Move on.
I'm sure if he is in a relationship, this girl definitely watched the show or is going to watch it. So she's going to see it all. So all the moments when we were like, oh my gosh, like Brennan, shut up. Like when he was, you know, trying to be controlling and all that, like that's on TV. Like this woman, but whoever she is going to see it and she can make her own opinion.
Even if it wasn't on TV, it's so petty.
It is.
To be like, yeah, I want to track this girl down and tell her. It's like, stay out of other people's business. This was your relationship. This was how Brennan acted in your relationship. It doesn't mean he's going to act the same way with the next girl.
That's a good point.
It's so clear you have not moved on. If you are talking about trying to find his current lady and telling her to run.
And we saw the previews for the Where Are They Now?
Ugh, right where they've always been.
Well, it seems like, and even Chloe said it, the women are not letting go. They're not going to move on.
No.
There's going to be some beef between Chloe and the women. And it seems like I disliked Chloe at the beginning, but for a very simple reason.
Chloe's my favorite now.
Well, I am saying I disliked her because I didn't think she was good for Michael, which point proven.
Yeah.
However, she is a nice, smart person with a head on her shoulders. And her and Michael went into this with the right mindset. They approached it. They didn't scam the system. We got one couple who did this the right way.
Yeah, I don't think I've done more 180s. During a season than this. Like,
I know.
I did a 360. I think I did a 360 on Cameron where I was like, I like him. I don't like him. I like him. Emily, complete 180. I used to be so team Emily.
I know.
Look at her. No, she's positive. Brennan's a douche. She's bashing her head open and still moving. Now I'm like, Emily, get off my screen. You're annoying me.
Well, I feel like maybe that is Emily, the one, the positive and fun one. But I think whatever happened between all of them just really got to all these women, and now they turn into these mean girls.
You have to move
on. You're out for the blood.
You have to move on. It's been months. Other people are already in relationships. You have to move on. Carrying this baggage is going to do nothing for you.
Yeah.
Why continue to let it tear you apart?
Because some people are attracted to a mess. Some people love messy relationship, and some people love past messy relationship that they cannot let go.
You know who?
Who?
Immature people love that.
Sure.
Immature people love that. And Emily, absolutely, I could see her being immature. Brennan calls her a college girl, which I think is being generous. She's acting like a toddler on this reunion. But I would have never considered Becca immature. I would have never considered Claire immature. And they're acting a little immature. I think wearing matching pink is a little immature. You're your own person. You want to talk about your truth? Well, how about your own clothing?
Yeah. Why,
you know, be a little more mature and be your own person. And this gang mentality, it's helping nobody. It's hurting all of you.
I totally agree with you.
Rant
but I
over.
Think it's like one of them said, let's just do it. And you either need to do it or you're out of the pack. So,
yeah. Yeah, I guess. So who's the ringleader over there? Because it wasn't Cameron. He wasn't wearing pink.
Yeah.
So, okay. All the guys head back to set, minus Austin, who has a stomach bug, which is a little peculiar because he's like, I don't know, maybe coffee, maybe something else. Like, take an Imodium and get back on set.
I agree, but you cannot force someone if they don't feel well. So Austin gonna sit this one out.
Yes.
And we get to hear from the guys, and it's a very different mindset in a way that they start apologizing and owning up to things. And
the energy was so different.
It was. And again, I'm not a big Brennan fan, but what he said, I do believe, because he said, I signed up for this because it's a free matchmaking. It's not like a reality TV show to become famous. That's why I signed up. But then I don't want my entire life to be projected out there, which is like,
it's a little naive.
Yeah, but that's why he lost me a little bit, because it's like, have you watched the show? Like, you're going to be followed by camera. So you need to stay true to yourself. And that's what he kind of said. I wish I was true to myself. I wish I was being more transparent how I felt instead of like hiding it and trying to power through.
Yeah, it's a tough situation to be in, because he said he wasn't happy with his match. And he could have been more honest about that, more transparent about it. But we talk about it all the time. You're not immediately attracted. Okay, Jamie and Doug. But if you put that out there, you're going to immediately ruin any chance you have of making it work, like Clint and I forget her name.
Yeah.
He made a comment. He wasn't attracted, or she wasn't attracted. Someone wasn't attracted, and they could never get back on track.
Yeah. He made a comment similar to Cameron, said something about her that he has his type is more
body
slender.
Type, yeah.
Literally stop saying that, dudes. Like, learn from mistakes of these past men. Just move on. But I was going to add, Brennan said the reason why he wasn't attracted to Emily was like
Gina.
When he...
Sorry.
Gina, yes. When they met at the altar, he's like, oh, she's a pretty girl. Great. But then apparently her friends started telling him that, oh, yeah, she keeps getting ghosted and she loves one-night stands. And,
yeah.
And that started to be a turnoff for him. And then we learned that she's never been in a relationship. And I think all of this started piling up, and I can see how something like this can just turn you off. And once
totally.
You get turned off by someone, especially it's because you just met, it's hard to get past it. I would say it's almost impossible.
Well, there's been no solid foundation built for there to be these cracks. Every relationship will have a crack put in it. But you hope you've built up a solid enough foundation where it doesn't ruin
yeah.
the relationship. This relationship was just built on faulty foundation from the start.
Yeah.
And you want your partner to be desired. Like, there's always that old adage, oh, once you get married, once you put the ring on your finger, girls can't stay away from you because they go, oh, well, if he's good enough for another girl, he's good enough for me. And so
who's the slut that's messaging you?
There's a lot of sluts messaging me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'll show you my DMs. They're overflowing. That's why the phones are off the hook, Teresa.
We're going to have a conversation.
I'm kidding. It has not happened to me, but that's the old saying. And you want your partner to be desired. And so when her best friends are saying, oh, yeah, she gets ghosted a lot. It's just one night stands. It's like, oh, nobody wants to be with her. I literally got forced into a relationship with her. This was not my choice. I'm being stuck with her. It's kind of a turnoff.
Yeah, I can see that. But he should have given her a fair shot. I think it's fine. He should have taken this into consideration. But I think it affected him, how he started viewing her and whatever she did next. Let's say she could have done something small that if he didn't have this information, he would maybe look past it.
Yeah.
But he just kept adding to this. And then it's hard to get out of that mess. So
he had the ick from the start, feel like. And then, there was no coming back from that.
Yeah. Cameron, he brought a receipt about his heart. There was his EKG and his heart stopping 3 times after he announced the divorce.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not funny at all.
It's not funny that he had to bring this because people were questioning it.
Yeah.
And I may have been one of those who was questioning it. But yeah, that was the receipt that he brought.
Yeah. So he's doing better. He looks a little pale. Even Kevin keeps bringing that up, that he asking if he's okay.
Yeah.
Listen, if you have a heart condition, this situation is literally the last place you should be in.
Totally.
Like, you should not be stressed.
Totally.
You should not be stressed regardless of your heart condition. If your heart is great, you should still not put yourself into stress situations.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what happened with Austin too. The stress will get your stomach going. And
oh, for sure. Like, imagine he knew people are going to go after him, the women. And I think out of all of these guys, Austin is the one that cries about it. Like, that. I think it affects him the most. That is just, regardless of him wanting to be with Becca or not, whatever was real, I think this is getting to him.
He's a sensitive guy. I think he wants to be a nice guy. He doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And yeah, I don't think he is a reality TV star. I don't necessarily think he was made for the limelight.
None of these are. If anyone is a reality TV star, it's Michael. But for his sense of fashion, I don't think he went onto this to promote his own business or anything.
No. I don't mean that. I just mean, I don't know that Austin loves the lights, camera, action.
Oh, no.
And it takes
Brennan
a toll.
Hates it.
It takes a toll on him. Brennan hates it. Cameron, Ryan, I don't know.
Doesn't
Cameron.
Like it.
So add actual stress and drama and this fighting on top of the lights, camera, action. The lights, camera, action would be tough enough if things were rainbows and butterflies.
Yeah.
But it's going south. That's going to take a toll on you.
For sure.
Physically, emotionally. Yeah.
For sure.
And then
Michael basically reassures us that the first marriage was not staged. His emotions were real. Because people are saying, oh, he definitely knew it. I think the producers knew it, but they made her still do it. Didn't we talk about it?
That
she have to pay that
you
back?
You have to make it to the altar. Otherwise, it's like $50,000.
Yeah. But Michael didn't know it. He said, whatever you saw on TV was real. That's how I felt.
I never questioned that.
I didn't either, because then it's like, well, that would be a really shitty thing to do.
To fake.
Yeah, to fake it. Then just don't put it in at that point.
Yeah, I never questioned. It didn't seem fishy to me.
No.
So guys finish up, and as we were saying, this taking a toll on you. The men are really dropping like flies here, because Cameron is the next guy to bow out because his heart started going a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
like, imagine just when you feel a little stressed, your heart starts going fast.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is it for him? Like, ooh, I can't imagine.
Yeah. So the men and women that are left come and take the stage. Michael ends up apologizing to Chloe, which was nice. They seem to have a healthy relationship still.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, I kind of wish they could make it because she is mature enough. It's just there are different points of their lives with what they want. So I think it would be hard for them to find a middle ground on all the animals and the fashion and the lifestyle. But anyways, they're good.
They're such on a different season than the...
Oh, like, yeah.
Watching them interact is like watching a past season. And then you cut back to Emily and Brennan. You're like, oh, yeah, I forgot this is the train wreck we're watching.
And Brennan apologizes, too. And he says, you know, I'm sorry that I was maybe not being true to myself and I should have been more honest with you. It's just if I did that, we would end it after 2 days.
Yeah.
But I should have told you how I felt and I'm sorry for that, right?
Well, I don't believe you and I don't think it's genuine.
Fake apology. And they started going at each other once again. And
it's all so childish. Even if Brennan's lying through his teeth and trying to make himself look good on TV, you could just be like, thanks, Brennan.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily buy it. I wish you would have told me this off camera, but all right, you do you. She's just so petty.
She is, and Claire keeps adding. She's like, oh, yeah, like this is all, these are all lies. Like we all know it.
And Kevin, doing his job, tries to get to the bottom of this because he's got questions. He knows we have questions. And Emily calls Kevin out for trying to question Claire. And it's like, that's literally his job. Do you see the note cards? It is literally his job to ask questions.
And Emily goes after Kevin. She's like, you know, like this is all just annoying. Just people that keep digging and digging. Like you, Kevin. It's like, Emily, he's the host of the show. This is the tell-all.
What did you think was going to happen on this show?
Yeah, Kevin goes back at her. He's like, you yelling at me is not changing anything. You disrespected the show, the people that watch it, and the people that work for the show. Boom. Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How drunk do you think Emily was? Because it's the only explanation for this behavior.
I don't think she was drunk, but I wish she was because that would have been a little excuse.
Yeah, I think maybe she had a little liquid courage, I hope, because this was off the rails. And Brennan does talk about how he thought they were mismatched and he got word from her friends and it was kind of a turnoff. And Emily was like, I make more money than you. It seemed like it came out of nowhere.
It did. And Brennan was like, that's not true, but that's besides the point. Yeah,
turns out that's not true, but that's besides.
It's like, who cares? Who cares who makes more money? Like, no one talked about money. Like, money and jobs were not even the case. Sometimes it is during maths. Like, when you're unemployed, it was an issue. We've seen it before, or I don't know what we saw. Then the lady made more money than the man. That wasn't even a question.
No, but again, she's trying to emasculate or cut him down, and everything is just a dig.
Yep.
Because she's a mean girl.
Yep, I agree, and it's sad because I did like Emily a lot during the season, and I don't like what she's turning into with all this rage and just.
Yeah.
She's like a dog, like a pit bull. It's just like, she's not letting go. Let go and move on, dude. Just move on. Like, she should have showed herself in a way better light if she came in. Say your piece in peace and then move on. Just, it's fine. Like, who cares? Like, Brennan, who? Just move on.
Right. Be the bigger person.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious why she can't have a long-term relationship.
Yeah. She needs to move on. That's literally what she needs to do, all of them.
Yes. Okay, we need to move on. Before we do, let's take a quick break. We will tell you about our sponsors for this episode. When we come back, let's talk about Lauren and Orion a little bit more, all right?
We'll
be back in a second.
This episode is sponsored by Jetpack Immune Travel Gummies.
Teresa, travel should be about adventure and relaxation, not sniffles and coughs. That's where Jetpack Immune comes in, an easy, delicious way to boost your immune system. Since getting these into my routine, I've been able to enjoy our travels even more.
But Jetpack isn't your ordinary supplement. It's a special blend that puts health first with a formula that's lower carbs, calories, and sugar than America's number one vitamin brand.
And can we talk elderberry? I've been taking elderberry supplements for a long time, but Jetpack packs a powerful 900 milligrams of elderberry into every serving. That's alongside eight other immune-boosting ingredients like vitamin C, D, zinc, and echinacea, all in one delicious gummy you'll actually look forward to taking.
The taste is amazing. No bland or bitter vitamins here.
Plus, Jetpack supports a healthy stress response with ingredients like quercetin, bromelain, and astragalus, making it your perfect travel companion.
And because we know our listeners love a good deal, Jetpack is offering a special gift, a stylish pair of Jetpack sunglasses with every purchase for a limited time.
So don't wait. Give your immune system the support it deserves and get a stylish bonus. Head over to jetpackimmune.com to get your Jetpack Immune gummies and your free sunglasses.
Boost your health and travel in style with Jetpack. Visit jetpackimmune.com today.
And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Teresa.
This was kind of like nothing happened once again. Oren keeps apologizing for everything, and Lauren is so over him that she's like, it's fine, like, I'll accept your apology, but it's not changing anything. I'm happy where I am. Honestly, I don't need to be your friends. Like, I wish you the best. You do you. Like, we've seen this scene like 15 times ever since they divorced.
They didn't really get into the big argument, though, did they? Kevin never really addressed.
I don't think they want to because there was like race involved.
I know, but let's do it. If this is real TV, let's get real and let's have this conversation.
Yes, but I don't think they wanted to have that again. Because
that's literally the crux of their divorce, was this misunderstanding / argument. And I feel like this was the place to address it. And I feel like they totally ignored.
Well, they kind of done it before. I think the cracks was also the whole sex thing, that she had sex 2 months before. But Kevin says, well, she had sex before she was matched. She could have done whatever she wanted. She didn't know she's going to be getting married.
Yeah.
And Oren, yeah, I know. At the time, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, he apologizes again. He's like an apology machine at this point. But
someone is.
He says, yeah, he wishes he didn't give up on the process, not the marriage, which is like, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah. But Lauren says she's in a very happy, healthy, loving place.
She's banging someone.
She's definitely banging someone. And Orion is dating too for a couple of months.
Hello.
So they moved on.
They moved on. Good.
Yes.
Lauren still seems to be holding a grudge.
Well, I think Lauren's holding a grudge for the girls. I don't think she's holding a grudge against Orion anymore. She's like, I'm fucking past this. I moved on. And she kept saying it. I believe her. I think because she's friends with all the women and she hears their side, now she's holding a grudge with them towards Cameron, towards Brennan, towards Austin.
I forget how young some of these ladies are. And I guess that explains.
Well, she's over 30.
Is she?
Yeah, yeah. So, he is young. He's like 26, 27.
And a couple of them are mid-20s.
They're all, I think Claire is like 26-ish.
Yeah.
Emily's almost 30. I think Becca's over 30.
Did I have their ages somewhere?
You do. I do too.
Oh, yeah. Becca's 32. Emily is 29. Claire's 27. Okay. So.
They're not babies.
They should not be acting the way they're acting.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we get some expert action, right?
Yes. We got SDP, DP, and PC. And we learned that SDP, this is her first full-time season.
SDP was wearing pink heels, and I don't know if that was intentional or
not. I don't
think
so, because she was matching her dress. That green dress was matching PC's outfit, which I liked.
Oh.
The dark green is a thing. Kevin was wearing it too. I like it. DP has been with Mavs on all 17 seasons.
And you know what else? Most of those episodes, she's been wearing pink. Not this episode.
Yeah, well, she didn't want to side.
I know. I think
I'm sure they literally told her, like, you cannot wear a pink.
They're wearing your signature color, DP.
Yep, yep. And then PC's been with Mavs since season 4. So he's kind of a veteran, too.
DP probably had to go next door to her husband's house and pick out a different outfit because everything at her place is pink.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how long they're going to stay with the show or the show is going to stay on because, wow, this season was just... Wow. And again, I did enjoy it, but this is wild.
Yeah. So Kevin brings up the deception. The experts had no idea that it was happening.
Yeah. And then Becca apologizes to them saying, well, I'm sorry for not being my authentic self. I wasn't allowed to because of the man.
This is what I can't take.
No. And it's like, for example, if any of them didn't do this, like at least Claire... As a therapist, as someone who studies that field, she should have called and be like, hey, like, this is what's happening. Like, let's just cut this. Or, hey, I don't feel comfortable speaking out because of Cameron, whoever's trying to control me. I don't know what happened, but they should have said something.
Totally.
They should have said something.
You're waiting until this very moment to be like, we were silenced. We were being dismissed. It's like, I believe you guys are powerful, strong, independent women. And yes, Claire, as a psychologist, has the mental acuity to know what's happening and has the mechanisms to probably combat if there's some mental manipulation going on. And so I don't really buy that they were silenced. The only example we heard is Emily going, well, Brennan made me delete this diary cam, and Brennan's like, well, I asked you to, you sure? But it's like, if that's all you have, if that's what you keep going back to, then that's all you have is that one instance.
Yeah. Did you see that PC and DP are just like rolling their eyes?
Everyone.
Yeah.
All of America, I think, is rolling their eyes.
PC is like, so you're saying the men were being manipulative and Cameron was the leader? Yes.
Yeah.
And then Chloe asks, she's like, oh, by the way, like me and Michael, we weren't part of this. Like we had our actual, what's the word?
Relationship?
Yes. Relationship experience. That's what I was looking for. And we are not part of this scam. And I love that she called it the scam.
Yeah. Well, Becca's like, the men silenced us. They wanted to look good on camera. They were anxious, which made us wonder if we should be anxious. It's like, what are you talking about? How is someone else's anxiousness then like, oh, they're anxious. Maybe I should be anxious?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
You know, this whole thing, and we'll get there later. I don't want to skip ahead, but they're going to roll a video of them having fun. That wasn't all shitty. Like, you could tell, like, there was something beyond that.
But... it doesn't make sense to me because part one of this reunion, we were told you guys were in this together. It wasn't one side versus the other. Apparently it was all of you guys in it together. You guys conspired together to play us and play the system and get your 15 minutes of fame. So I don't understand how you were being silenced if you were in this together. How were the guys anxious and then making you anxious if you guys were in this together? This wasn't a one-sided scheme. At least that's not what you said in part one.
Yeah.
So figure out your story because it's not making any sense.
I agree with you.
So Emily was like, well, we wanted the marriage to work so bad. That's why we didn't reach out and tell you guys. We thought trusting the men would make the marriage survive.
The women. Ugh. Yeah, but that's kind of where it ended. And then we have the men meeting the experts. And I feel like that was the time that Austin and Cameron felt like maybe this is a safe space. So they came back.
Something strange happened because Austin came back with a baby face. He came back.
He shaved.
This had to have been the next day.
I don't think so. I think
you go home while you're shitting your pants, throwing up, and maybe he had to throw up in his beard. I don't know. Why would you shave?
I don't know.
I don't know why you would shave even that night if you knew. Maybe he wasn't planning on going back and they were like, no, you have to come back and finish or we're going to fine you or something. Why would you shave in the middle of a tell-all?
I don't know, like but he did.
A major shave. It wasn't going from a 5 o'clock shadow to clean shaven. It was like lumberjack.
Yeah.
To Jack.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. They all are wearing the same clothes still.
Well, that's
same,
what you do.
But it's like the same exact makeup, the same that's exact hair. That's what you do.
It's called continuity. Everything that's going to, they are people who take photos of what you're wearing so that when you come back to set, you can get in the same exact thing.
Yeah, but you can see like, some of it is like wearing off a little bit. How do you do that effect?
I don't know. I don't know that, but I have a hard time believing he went home in the afternoon, shaved his face completely and came back that same day.
I don't know. Maybe right. He just say, well, here's the thing. Did he go home? Was this in Denver? Was it in LA? It was because
they went to a hotel. Or?
Yeah, he went. Maybe there was a hotel next door because Orion said he flew there.
Yeah.
So it must have been
New York
in LA.
Or LA.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure if they're staying at a hotel, it's probably nearby. If he went to lay down for an hour or two.
And shave?
Well, I don't get that, but.
Anyways, so DP immediately questioned Cameron about being the ringleader of the mm-hmm. plot. And is there an echo in here? Because Cameron gave the same, he points to the same thing that I pointed to last week with like, see all the matching outfits? See how they're all wearing pink? That's plotting. That's scheming. That's exactly what they're yeah. accusing the guys of. And I'm like, thank you. That's exactly what I thought.
And all the guys are saying, no, like Cameron didn't orchestrate anything. And even Michael keeps supporting him. So it's like, I would feel like, I honestly think they all did this together. They all plotted this together. I don't think Cameron was the leader.
No, he, again, the
they
leader
all were
of what?
On it or the, something.
The leader of what? Because yeah. if Austin really liked Becca, mm-hmm. if there was a real connection there, but Cameron and Orion and
Michael
Brennan. No, Michael and Clara, or they're out.
Chloe.
But the other three guys like hated their matches. They're not going to convince Austin, who's into his match, yeah. to go along with. So like you guys were all in this together because you guys just all got matched poorly.
Yeah.
If one of the couples actually liked each other, they're not going to go along with your scheme.
Oh, for sure.
So ringleader, schmingleader, you guys all just were unhappy with your matches True. And tried to figure out a way to get through the process.
Plus, they said the guys are not like as close as the women. Like they hang out once in a while. They see each other, maybe text a little. But I feel like if one of them was the big liar and the leader and ruined everyone's marriages, you're not going to back him up.
No, probably not. I think the women are so bonded because they all felt rejected. Mm-hmm. Misery loves company. They were upset that they felt rejected and they bonded over that. The guys just were like, hey, we're not attracted. Independently, we're not attracted to our matches. We're not into them. And so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Brennan and Cameron got apologies out. And
yeah, Cameron apologized to DP.
Cameron got emotional saying he lied to their faces. Like,
yeah.
This is owning up to something.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he did lie, which he did, he admits to it. He admitted to it.
Yeah.
Own up to it. Be the bigger person. Take the high road.
And then Brennan apologized to SDP because he wasn't a little mean to her. Yeah. And he says, I'm sorry you got to meet the two Brennans, the fun and loving one at the beginning, and then the controlling one, and I'm really sorry about that. Yeah. And I'm glad he said it because that's same thing as SDP says. That's gross. Like yeah. saying like, yeah, I fucked up. I was controlling. I was rude. I wasn't true to myself. I lied. That's good. Move on. And I think all these guys have, they have moved on. But the only thing that's stopping them from fully moving on is all these women still being mad at them and still being upset and talking how they ruined them, they silenced them, they gaslit them, like all these fun buzzwords.
The women literally come back, they join them on set, and the first thing out of their mouth are, "You guys are such liars." Like, before their asses even hit the seats, "You guys are lying. You guys are, it's like, geez, we get it. We heard it. Broken record. Enough is enough. Prove it. If you're going to continue to say that, prove it."
Well, Kevin wants to know what was going on with the whole date, because the double date with him and Brennan. We see the clip when they were arguing after D-Day, saying, literally Cameron saying, "It wasn't Brennan. It was me. It was my idea. Yeah. I said it, but me and Claire were over. We were separated," right? And Claire just starts crying, yelling at him that he's lying.
Claire was like, you want to bang my friend? Oh, you banged my friend? No, you want to bang my-? It's like...
Talking to Brennan.
Yeah, talking to Brennan. And Brennan's like, "What?" And Claire's like, "You're banging other people." And he's like, "Well, first you said I wanted to. Now you're saying I am." Like, those are two very different things.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. It's like, again, I don't know who's lying. I'm taking sides. I really am not. But
if you can't keep your story straight, you're probably lying.
Correct. That's how you know it the best. Like if she said you wanted to bang my friend, or you banged friend, or you're banging people. First of all, if he was banging people, how do you know? And then why do you say he wanted to? And it's right. Such a good point that a little slips like this just say a lot.
Keep your story straight if you want to lie.
Yeah. So
the story is apparently Brennan and Cameron went to a bar. Yes. There was two ladies there and they said, "Oh, in 2 months or whatever, we should come back and do a double date." And that's where it ended.
Yeah.
And no one could prove any different. Like,
but here's the thing. They could have lied too. They could have said, "Oh, that never happened. We didn't do it. We didn't talk to any women." They at least said, "Yeah, this happened. We went there. We said in a couple of months when we're after decision day, we can do this."
Yeah.
At the point that they were basically separated. Emily was kissing an Australian guy. Cameron and Claire were separated.
And that's such an important piece of the story, and one Claire wants to ignore, because Emily loses it and walked off set. She was crying. She couldn't take it. She couldn't bear to hear this story. Claire is talking out of both sides of her ass. She's getting mad at Cameron and Brennan for going out and chatting about a double date when she admits that this was after saying she wanted a divorce. So it's like, you're saying you want a divorce, but they can't go to a bar and be like, "Yeah, maybe after we get divorces, we'll go on double dates."
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, Lauren chimes in and basically gets mad at them too, yelling at the camera. I'm like, "You don't fucking scare me. Keep poking the bear and the bear is going to bite you." And it's like, I do like Lauren. I think Lauren was kind of removed from this experience because Orion sucks. So yeah. she didn't get to experiment or experience what these women did. However, she bonded with them. They're friends. So I think all she hears is their side.
She's fighting a losing argument.
Yeah, I think she's fighting. I'll give her this. She's fighting for her friends. I think a lot of people would.
Yeah, but I'm not losing respect for her, but you've moved on, Lauren. You need to distance yourself from the drama because it's bringing you down.
Yeah. Well, she's there to support her friends. I do, that's great. Be there for your friends. But I don't think she knows the full story. She knows one side of the story.
Yeah, she knows what the women tell her. Yeah. So then Emily came back and Kevin was like, if you don't want to be here, don't be here. She said, "I'll be here. I'm here. I want to be here." It's like, all right, lady. So
yes,
we move on to never before seen footage of Chloe and Michael, which is just them trying on women's clothes. And we come back and Kevin asks about everyone's newfound celebrity.
Did Michael say he spends $4,000 a month on clothes or a year?
It fluctuates. I think it's a month.
For sure, because I spend $4,000 a year, so.
Oh, we need to talk about that.
Okay.
You spend $400 a month on clothing?
Probably not. Okay. It fluctuates.
Okay, that'd be way too much.
No, I don't spend that much, but I would say I spend, there's some months that I don't buy anything. There are some months I drops 300, right?
Okay.
Not every month, Jonathan.
Okay. Theresa.
You shop too. You just bought fancy socks. I saw you opening the package.
$7 on it. They were fancy. They were very fancy. $7 on Amazon. A little too fancy. It came in like an iPhone box. Like, you know how when you open up an iPhone, it's like, and then each pair of socks, there are these no-show socks. They're amazing. I've been looking for these socks my entire life. But they were each individually like wrapped. So I had to take scissors and unwrap each pair.
Not sustainability friendly.
No, but very affordable and comfortable.
Well, I know when you shop because I do your laundry. So I always see the new shirts.
Well, stop ruining my shirts and I won't have to keep getting new ones.
Me, it's the washing. It's the hard water in Florida. I'm telling you.
So hard. Hard life.
Yep.
All right. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, there were some biggest takeaways. Authenticity is the key.
What is?
Authenticity.
We'll try one more time.
Authenticity. Authenticity. You said.
Yikes.
You said.
Authenticity.
This is what I said.
You
authenticity.
You were being extremely authentic in your pronunciation.
Accountability is also okay. All these keys I can't pronounce.
Yeah.
Just move on, people.
Yeah, move on.
But I'm excited to see, where are they now?
Ugh. Come on, they're right where they started. Single, alone, bitter.
I do want to see it. I love some of these like post shows to see like what's going to happen. Did you move on? Because I don't think they did.
All right, maybe we'll cover it. Let's see how long it is. If it's 2 hours, that's absurd.
Yeah, but I think we will cover it. I'm going to watch it and I'm going to talk about it. We might as well record it.
I think it's going to be 2 hours.
Definitely. And then Keisha Knight-Pollyann is going to do me. God. A silly, what do you call it?
Poll?
Yeah, a silly poll.
It's like, what's the most important thing in finding a partner?
Manifesting.
Is it manifesting it?
Who's writing this shit? Darcy?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. She probably picked up a job at Lifetime because TLC is done with her.
I thought her name was Keisha Napoleon, like the general. Yep. Then I realized it's Knight-Pollyann.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. All right. What a season.
Ooh.
What a season.
Yeah. Not done yet. Not done.
Apparently not. So maybe we'll be back next week to talk about Where Are They Now.
We may or may not.
May
you
or
guys
may not.
Know the drill.
You guys know the drill. In the meantime, where we will definitely be is on Patreon and Supercast talking about this new season of Love in Paradise.
I can't wait. Guys, please, if you haven't watched the trailer, do it because...
Or read an article.
You're going to get so pumped up.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped up. Like, is it Monday yet? No, it's just Wednesday.
It's just Wednesday. But yes, that's coming to the Patreon and Supercast. So check that out. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality. MarriedToReality.supercast.com. Also, make sure you're following us on Instagram @MarriedToRealityPod. Call in over there. Let us know. What you think about this season? What you think about this drama? Who's lying?
Everyone's lying. I think everyone's lying a little bit. But some people lie more than the others.
Totally.
I just don't know who those are.
Totally. So on Instagram @MarriedToRealityPod. Also, make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash like it is hot. Yes, this season, because it had its hot moments. Before we knew this was all a lie, I really enjoyed it. I would still enjoy it. I'm lying now. I just loved it. I loved it so much. It was so dramatic.
So much drama.
It wasn't maths.
No.
It wasn't the real maths.
No. All right. And if you haven't left a review, please do. You guys know we're suckers for a little love. If you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we will read it on the Monday podcast.
Correct.
All right. That is it, Therese. Any final thoughts?
That's it. My iPad is at 1%, so this is a good time to
Let's shut it down. All right. Thank you guys for listening. What a season. We may or may not be back next week to talk about Where They Are Now. All right?
Where are you now? Isn't it a Justin Bieber song?
JB.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That is it. I've said it all.
Said it all?
Sure have. Means we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.